In Hebrews 10, we're told to promote love and good works. For years, Elizabeth Elliot has been pointing women to Jesus and challenging them to live a life characterized by love, good deeds, and devotion to God's Word. Welcome to Gateway to Joy. Drawing on her decades of personal study and the application of God's principles as a daughter, mother, wife, and missionary, Elizabeth reminds us that anything, if offered to God, can and will become your gateway to joy.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says, and that means you. You are loved with an everlasting love. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend Elizabeth Elliot, talking again today about the will of God, continuing our series on the Lord's Prayer, that phrase, "Thy will be done." Recently, my Aunt Ann Howard, who lives down in Quarryville, Pennsylvania, gave me a whole pile of stuff, which included some wonderful books written by her father, my grandfather. Philip E. Howard was his name, and I have to confess to my chagrin that I had never read most of his books. I have a whole shelf of them now, and I'm going to be reading through them very slowly, and so many of the pages are just packed with little gems that I want to share with you. So this is one of them. I found this in his book called Living Through These Days. Please don't write to the station and ask where you can get it, because it's out of print, so you have to try the secondhand bookstores. Living Through These Days. He said, "In the pilot house of many a ship, there was, and doubtless is found in some today," and I have to put a parenthesis in here, that I think this was probably written maybe back in about 1910 or 11, so I'm not sure that this would be true today, "but there is in the pilot house of many a ship a telephone instrument connecting with diaphragms in boxes let into the bow on each side below the waterline. The diaphragms were exposed to the sound waves that come from the water itself, from such sound producers as the propellers of nearby ships, or surf on the rocks, or the sound of the bell buoy. If you listened with the receiver that is connected with the port side of the ship, you could hear sounds that came from that direction. If you listened with the starboard receiver, you got the sounds that came from that direction. But if when you were in the fog, you listened only from the receiver on the side of the ship from which you thought the sounds that are to your liking would come, and refused to listen by means of the receiver that connected with the side from which the sounds actually were coming, you could not blame the apparatus if you had a collision. If God gives to us words of warning and of loving guidance, we must have an ear for them and listen." Well, that's the end of the quote from Philip E. Howard. We must pray, "Thy will be done through, in, and in spite of my will and all the uncontrollable things that are likely to happen to us during the day." Is it possible that the will of God can be done in us when we are finite, sinful, at times miserably stupid creatures living in a fallen world? How can we pray a prayer like, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven," and expect it to be answered? Is God's will going to be done on earth as it is in heaven? Well, I do believe that it can be done in you and me. A Christian is a little circle of the will of God. In my life, the will of God can be done. And it can be done through, in, and in spite of all the people that I don't get along with and all the circumstances that I would like to change and all the awful things, quote, awful, unquote, that happens. Thy will be done. Now, one of the things that I find most perplexing is making decisions about speaking engagements. I hate to say no. And my husband, Lars, being a salesman, he hates it even worse than I do. I've had a lot of practice in saying no, but he hasn't had nearly as much as I've had, because he used to be a salesman and the customer's always right. You don't say no. But when I get two or three different letters inviting me to speak on the same day, it's quite obvious that something has to go. I have to say no to two people out of three, at least, and very often three out of three. So those decisions I spread before the Lord, and I just say, Lord, thy will be done. Show me what you want me to do. Show me the places where you want me to go. Tell me which letters to say yes to and which to say no to. Now, my grandfather's rule for how to decide what to do on a day was this, four things. In an ordinary day's work, first, you do whatever you're paid to do. Second, you do whatever you've promised to do. Third, whatever you need to do for others. And fourth, whatever you'd like to do. Shall I go over those again? The order in which we should do our ordinary day's work is this. First, whatever you're paid for. I'm sure there are a lot of housewives out there who'd say, well, I'm not getting paid for anything that I do. Well, let's accept the job that God has given to us as a high and holy calling, higher than any pay could possibly reach. The second category is whatever you've promised to do, or I would say whatever is involved in the will of God for us. And if we're Christians, surely we've promised to do His will. Especially I would speak to fathers. If you make promises to your children, please keep them. Don't ever defer them. The Bible says, hope deferred maketh the heart sick. And there is nothing that a little child counts more heavily upon than a promise of something good, something fun, some reward, perhaps, that a parent has given to him. If you make a promise to a child, keep it. Keep it as seriously as you would keep a responsibility to your employer by whom you're paid or to God. Remember, Jesus said, inasmuch as you've done it to one of the least of these, you've done it to me. Third thing, whatever you need to do for others, and most of mother's work falls into that category, doesn't it? And number four, what you'd like to do. When Jesus was going to choose his disciples, he set his priorities. He spent the whole night in prayer before he made those choices. Whenever he was going to do his redemptive work with his people, he prepared himself by prayer. In what order do you do things? Jesus did things in the same order on earth as they would be done in heaven, because the will of God was done in him on earth as it was in heaven. And he wants us to live the same way. Read the Gospel of Mark. It's the shortest of the Gospels. If you just read it sometime in one sitting, you'll be amazed at what Jesus did, how many things were on his list, and yet with what serenity he moved through that list. We are to live incarnationally. Do you know what that means? It means putting into our human walk the life of Jesus. We are to incarnate the life of God here on earth. We are to live in such a way that others can look at our lives and say, there's something different about that man, something different about that woman. And I think of you who are in prison, stuck there for who knows how long, with a whole lot of people who have done bad things. And you yourself, like all the rest of us, have done something that was bad enough to get you put in jail. Unless, of course, you were innocent, as some of you are, and God knows your innocence. All of us are sinners, and yet, because we can be redeemed and forgiven and indwelt with the life of Jesus, we can present our lives as an incarnation to the rest of the world. The life of Jesus will be enfleshed in us, put into visible, tangible form in the lives of those who belong to him when we pray, "Thy will be done," we are living his life. Christ in you, the Bible says, the hope of glory. I asked a little 9-year-old girl if she had any heroes. Sweet, blonde girl. In fact, I'm going to give you her name, Amy Vanderhorst. She lives near Kansas City. I asked Amy, "Do you have any heroes?" And there was a long pause, and she smiled and she said yes. And she gave me the name of two people in her church. I didn't know those people. And so I said, "And why are they your heroes?" And again, there was a long pause. And then in her sweet voice and with that lovely smile and her blue eyes, she looked at me and she said, "They're just so kind. Two kind people who I suppose would be absolutely flabbergasted to know that a little 9-year-old girl was noticing their kindness and wanting to imitate it." I said to her, "Why do you call them heroes?" And she said, "I want to be like them. I want to be kind like them." Well, you know, you and I are the only letter from God that most people read. Did you ever think about that? Most people don't read the Bible. But if we call ourselves Christians, they are scrutinizing our lives. How does that woman live? She talks big. What about her life? What about that man? We are the letters from God that most people read. We need to pray that prayer, "Thy will be done on earth in me as it is in heaven."
As Elizabeth has said, anything if offered to God can and will become your gateway to joy. Elizabeth Elliott has been sharing timeless truth with ladies for many years, drawing insight from her Bible study and her experiences as a wife, mother, and missionary. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network, Charlotte, North Carolina.